First Peter chapter 5, starting from verse 1 to 4.
The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Elders is not talking about the old people. Elders, he's talking to the ministers, the pastors, the servants of God. He says, I want to exhort you. I want to, you know, uplift you. I want to encourage you. Who is he? He is also an elder. He is also the servant of God. Once you are the servant of God, you should have the spirit to help other ministers. Some people are jealous about other ministers. Some people do not like the presence of other ministers in their churches. They are scared of other ministers. Some people think if that person is very good preacher, maybe he will take my church members away, or maybe people will follow him. And that's the kind of fear some people have. I don't have that kind of fear. If anybody comes to my church as a minister or new person, I will tell him, come on here, you can pray, you can preach, you can give the word, if you give the testimony, do like that. They're all part of your body. Church is universal, one church. There are so many other churches and other denominations, but there is only one church, one shepherd. So what I'm trying to say, then some people say, what about all the churches? Why don't you mix with all churches? Church is only one. The Holy Spirit is one. Baptism is one. God is one. Lord is one. Then why this all denominations? If you go and read the Word of God, it says, foundation, Jesus Christ. And you lay foundation on Jesus and his doctrine and build the churches. To found the church on the solid rock and the doctrine of Christ, it takes a guts. It takes the courage. It takes the power of God to tell the people what the Bible is all about. There are churches, we'll tell, I'm not giving the name of the churches. You will find out, or later on if you come to me after the service, what church you are talking about. Then I'll tell you in details. There are churches. They will tell you, believe the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's it. Don't talk about water baptism. Don't talk about communion. And those churches are worldwide. Everywhere you can tell their name and everybody knows them. But they don't preach the full gospel. There are other kind of groups. They will say, okay, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in water baptism, but we don't believe in immersion baptism. We just sprinkle. And that's the way our doctrine is, and that's easy. Other day I heard somebody wanted to baptize people. They said, okay, stand here on the ocean and let the water go over you. You're all baptized. Can be done. So, people are using the Bible and not understanding and establishing churches. There are churches, they will say, okay, you come to our church, you do the sinner's prayer. Once you do sinner's prayer, you are saved forever. You are not going to get lost at all. You can commit sin, you can commit adultery, you can even kill yourself, do suicide. You will go to heaven. That kind of church people love. Hey, it's easy. Let's go, do the sinner's prayer. Our name is written in heaven. Now we got a license to commit sin. And those churches are flourishing. Their church are overflowing and they want a bigger church and bigger church and bigger church. It sounds good. You know, in our church, we have 20,000 people, 25,000 people. Sounds good. Mega church. But if you find out how many real born again, spirit-filled people loving the Lord and following the Lord. You will find very few. Even the some of the pastors are not even born again.
Amen. That's right.
They are not even saved.
That's right.
Sure. They are working in a mega church to make money.
Amen.
$100,000, $500,000 monthly or yearly salary they get. How much Peter got? Peter followed Jesus Christ. How much money he got? He lost everything what he had. And he says, I forsook all. And I followed you, Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
What I'm going to get?
Amen.
What Jesus Christ said. You're going to get 100% in this world. And plus eternal life.
That's right.
Amen.
And what Peter says when he started the ministry. Silver and gold, I have none.
Amen.
And say, in the name of Jesus,
that's right.
Get up and
in
walk.
In the name of Jesus.
That's the power of God.
That's right.
How many churches are doing this?
Amen.
We are welcoming people. Come on, bring your sickness, bring your disease, bring your problem, and see what God can do.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
I have seen the blind eyes open. I have seen the lame walking. I have seen the miracles after miracles after miracles. Who I am also, elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ. He is trying to say, listen, I am the servant of God and I am a witness. What is a witness? I was with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I saw him suffer for me and for you. So what he is trying to say? Not only witnessing means I also suffer for him.
That's right.
And if you are the believer, if you are the worker, then you have to suffer for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Christian life is not easy life.
Yeah.
Christian life has a lot of blessings. Like last week we learned, we got all the blessings stored with Jesus Christ. But the people do not want to suffer. They want everything easy. Peter is saying, I know the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So what he's trying to say, I want to help you. If you want the glory and power and majesty when Jesus Christ comes, what do? Suffer a little bit.
Amen.
Suffer with me. Suffer with Christ. People do not want suffering. What they want? Big name. Give me name, I'm a pastor.
Yep.
Give me name, I'm a deacon.
Yep.
Give me name, I'm a prophet. And give me some big names and that will be fine. But I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer for Jesus Christ. If other person is suffering, let them suffer. I don't care. If somebody is dying or somebody is having problem, I stay away. That's not the sign of the servant of God.
Amen.
Okay, let's read the words too.
Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind.
Feed the flock of God which is among you. Now you know what Jesus said to him, feed my flock, feed my sheep. Now if the Peter was not doing it himself, he has no authority to tell somebody to do it. So the Peter was taking care of the churches.
Amen.
He was suffering with the church members. So now he's saying, feed the flock of God which is among you. Now how do you feed? Feed the flock is not mean pastor should invite everybody to his house and give them dinner. That's what not he's talking about. He's trying to say, if you are a pastor and if you want to be a pastor, what do? You think about people. Feed them spiritual food.
Amen.
Give them the word of God.
Yes.
Some churches you go, they don't even open the Bible. The pastor will come and give them some, they have storybook. But I have Bible, some of the Bible memorized in my heart. It's a living Bible inside of me.
Amen.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to say, some ministers, they will not even take the Bible in their hand and preach. How do you feed your flock if you don't know the word of God? You have to know the word of God to feed the people.
Amen.
You are busy with all kinds of things. How much time pastor has to read the Bible and memorize the scriptures and study the word? Feed your flock, feed the members of God.
Amen.
And what he said, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. What he's trying to say, don't think that God has called you by force do the pastor's job. How many times you heard from many pastors and many ministers, I do not want to do this job. I do not want to be minister. I don't want to be pastor. But God forced me to do this. God never forced you to do it. God is a gentle person. Devil is the forceful person. You know, they put a gun on your head and do this. God doesn't put the gun on your head to preach the gospel. That is the calling from God, that you desire to serve the Lord. Pastor Peter is not going to force you to preach. You're supposed to say, Pastor Peter, I have a message today.
Amen.
When I'm going to preach? I'll say, okay, come on, you want to preach today, tomorrow? And say, oh, Pastor Peter is keep on preaching, not giving us chance. Church is for everybody. Just come to me and say, I want to preach tomorrow or next day. We will do it. So what the word of God is saying, nobody is forcing you to look after church. Or I didn't tell you yet, we have churches in India and churches in here and there. I want one pastor to go and oversight all the churches and come back. I didn't ask you yet. Someday might come. The other day one man called and said, Pastor Peter, do you have an idea to start a churches in Philadelphia? I said, At least I need 7 churches in Philadelphia. And that man wanted to join with us and come under our umbrella. He's a pastor. I said, well, right now we are concentrating on some of the churches. We have planned to open a church in New York. We have planned to open a church in Florida. We have planned to open a church in Virginia. Right now we are planning for those things. And we are already building churches in India. And Trinidad, we have one church and we are planning to have another church pretty soon. So then we need some people to just go on overseas. Just go and look around and find out what's happening and how the churches are doing. And I told the other ministers, when you are ministering in one state or one country, you're supposed to gather other ministers and then let me know. I can come or I can send the certificates and you ordain them. But we have to have a mind. I know I became a minister just to tell somebody I'm a pastor. Doesn't work. So what I'm trying to say, the word of God says you don't take the certificate and hang it on the wall. Come to my house. I have so many degrees. Not a one certificate hanging on my house yet. Maybe somebody will do it later on. But what I'm trying to say, it's good to have degrees, it's good to have diplomas, it's good to have certificates, to recognize, but it's good to have Bible knowledge,
amen,
wisdom of God, mm-hmm, and preaching the gospel and
that's
encouraging
right
on the ministers.
Amen.
But willingly, not for filthy lookers, but of a ready mind. If brother goes to Trinidad and start the church from the scratch and shed his tears and blood and sweat in that place, and he build the church and now 50,000 member comes and lot of people, they have respect for this man, I kick him out and say, you go to now South America and start a church because you are really talented. And if he doesn't want to go, I forcefully send him. Then what happens? All the church members, what he ministered, they are going to go astray.
Yep.
If a new man comes, they don't know this guy, he's a new pharaoh, they go away. So that's not the way to run the churches. Churches and pastors should be running with love and togetherness.
Amen.
If they want to send somebody, let's have a prayer meeting. Let's all the pastors come together and pray. We have a need for Florida. What we supposed to do, let's pray that somebody should have inspiration to go to that place. And if somebody goes, that will be effective job. But if I send somebody by force, that person might go and join with another church in somewhere.
True.
I don't want to be with Pastor Peter. I will join with somebody else. Is it money? Is it fame? Is it name? He says, don't do with the desires of get something.
That's right.
If you start doing like that, you are not fit for the glory of God.
Amen.
I'm serving the Lord since 1956. I never took a salary yet. So what I'm trying to say, I am doing willingly. I'm very proud of America in one way. In America, right now, all the people who are fighting war, they are volunteers. Somebody says, why don't you force them, forcefully draft them and send them? And some party was saying, draft them and send them. So everybody, president's son should go, and all the congressmen's sons go, and everybody go. And so that's good. Sounds good. But when you draft somebody, they don't want to go. How many people, when they say go to this country, they run to Canada? Or they run or disappear somewhere, they don't want to go. But willingly people go, they give their life willingly.
Amen.
And those people work better than the forcefully send.
Amen.
Same way the ministers. Now I'm telling the ministers, when you serve, you are not in the payroll. You are serving willingly. Jesus Christ called his disciples, he said, give up everything and follow me. He didn't give anybody salary. We are not paying salary. We want people to work willingly. And he says, how you do, but of a ready mind.
Amen.
What does it mean? You have to have mind to serve the Lord.
Yes.
Nobody has to force you. You have to have mind to go to places. You have to have mind to serve the people. You have to mind to go to house and telling people. God will tell you to give up the job. I don't have to tell you. God will tell you. And that's the time you give up the job and follow the Lord and do full-time job. But the Word of God says, at least you should have a ready mind to serve Him. Okay, let's read the verse 3.
Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock.
Some of the pastors, they have lots of power. I saw in one church, I don't want to tell their name, the pastors will come and tell the workers, tomorrow you're going to go to this place. They're thinking, we are the bishops, we are the pope, we tell and you obey. Doesn't matter you are convenience or not inconvenience. Do it because I said it. That is like what? Showing a power and authority. That's what the Word of God is saying. Being Lord over your heritage. So, we are not lords. What we are? Servants.
Amen.
We are the servants of God. Any church pastor or anybody with the authority to force you to do something, that is not the authority. That is not God-given authority. And so he said, but being example to the flock. So what I'm trying to say, each and every pastor has to be an example to the believers.
That's right. Amen.
If I start telling somebody, everybody stand now and you open your wallet, most of the people say, and look at the biggest bill you have in your wallet and give tithe. And they can give one time like that. Next time they keep the wallet home and put the dollar in a pocket. So they said, biggest bill in your pocket. I got a dollar. One time you can fool me. You cannot fool me all the time. So people will say, give the biggest check or biggest dollar and force people to give, and they themselves not give a penny to the work of God. And with those pastors, they are just there to take your money and they don't give it to the Lord. He says, you are not giving a good example. When I'm talking, even though I'm not working, I told my children, when you get a dime, give a penny. If you get a dollar, give a dime. If you give $10, give a dollar. And they are doing it. My wife, as soon as she got saved and baptized, she started giving tithe. She was not giving tithe when she was living with the mother and father. They never taught her. They taught her to give it to us. Don't give it to God. And then she started making money, and father and mother come to know that she's giving lots of money to church. They said, hey, we are poor. Give money to us. Don't give it to church. My wife said, listen, I'm giving everything to you. I'm giving my tithes to the Lord, and I'm keeping 10 or 20 rupees for my pocket money. I'll give that pocket money, but don't ask me the tithe. Tithe belongs to God. Today, she is giving her full tithe. Amen. She has excuse. She could say, hey, you're already not working and you gave up yourself to the Lord. I can give you that money to you. Call the pastor. I give it to you. Instead of giving to church, church is not giving you anything. I can give it to you. And so what I'll do, I'll use that money for a home. So the tithe stays in the house. But she never said that. She gives her tithe, and we put that tithe in the church account. So God has blessed us. We have set an example. If somebody says, I never saw Pastor Peter putting in there. The word of God says, give an example to the flock. If you are a pastor, start giving tithe.
Amen.
So here the word of God says, be faithful, an example to the flock. Okay, verse 4.
When the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
When the chief shepherd shall appear, who is the chief shepherd? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are all the shepherds, and he is the chief shepherd.
Amen.
Shepherd means what? Pastors. We are all pastors, and we have the great pastor,
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
That's right.
What he's going to do, he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Amen.
So what he's trying to say? Your reward is coming. You're going to have the crown of glory. And that crown will never fade away. The worldly crown you get, they get tarnished, they get spoiled, they can burn, they can go to ashes. But the crown you're going to receive, that crown will never fade away. That's the special crown. The crown was given to the pastors. Am I going to get a crown? Everybody will get a crown. I don't have time. Time is running. But I can give just scriptures and just go. Just read 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. Please read.
Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Now see, what kind of crown is this? Crown of righteousness.
Right.
How do you get the righteousness? When you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
By the blood of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
You get the righteousness
Hallelujah.
Of God.
Amen.
And so St. Paul says, I'm going to get that crown of righteousness.
Right.
Not only me, but everyone who looking for Jesus Christ to come back. Those all people are going to get that crown of righteousness. That means every believer will have the crown of righteousness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 19.
What is our hope of joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?
Okay, what is this crown? He says, crown of rejoicing.
Amen.
Now, who is going to get that crown? The first crown I told you, every righteous believer who believes in Jesus Christ who is coming, those all believers will get it, not the backslider. Waiting for his appearing means looking for Jesus Christ to come.
Amen.
Those are the people are going to get the first one. And this one, what is saying? Read one more time.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?
Who is going to get?
Amen.
He says, crown of rejoicing, I'm getting, that's you.
Amen.
When I'm winning souls for Jesus Christ, I get the crown of rejoicing. So every believer has to go and win souls.
Amen.
So when you win souls, you get a second crown. Crown of rejoicing means one soul gets saved in this world. What happens? The word of God says, all the angels in heaven start rejoicing.
That's right.
So when you win so many souls, you got so many jewels in your crown.
Amen.
And that's the crown you will rejoice and cherish. Hey, this is the crown I got because I was a soul winner. So how can I win souls? Wherever you go and find a soul, talk to them about
Amen.
God.
Amen.
At 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25.
And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible.
Okay, read the 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5, is it?
A man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully.
The worldly people, to get a crown or get a medal, you go to Olympic. Is it easy to go to Olympic to get the crown or get the medal? It's not easy. They have to keep their life pure and not take any drug, no alcohol, nothing, then they can win. So he's trying to say, if the worldly people do that, how much more we have to keep our life pure and holy and working towards our goals. We should be working hard to get the incorruptible crown.
Amen.
So who is going to get this crown? This crown is called the crown of victors, living victorious life. Those are the people who are going to get this crown. Not like a pastor running away with a secretary. That pastor is not going to get this crown for sure.
Amen. That's right.
So when you want this crown, you have to work hard, control your life, and work hard to get this incorruptible crown. Go to the James chapter 1, verse 12.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
That person gives his life for Jesus Christ. Those are the people who are going to receive that crown. Go to the Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. If you don't love Jesus, you are not going to give your life to him. You have to love Jesus Christ more than your life. Then you get this crown. Okay, go ahead.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Faithful until what?
Death.
Death. There is a teaching going on. Once you saved, saved forever. You got saved today and tomorrow you go to bar. You got saved today and got a girlfriend tomorrow and make her pregnant. Those people are not going to receive this crown.
That's right.
You have to be faithful until what?
Death.
Until death.
Amen.
The word of God says you have to be faithful until death.
Amen.
There is no turning back in the Christian life. And if somebody is saying, I'm a Christian, and they are like a yo-yo, go up one day, down one day,
yeah,
up one day, down one day. And just think you're down that day, and that's the day Jesus Christ comes.
Amen.
Will you make it?
No.
No.
Amen.
We have to looking up all the time.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is coming. And if you love Jesus Christ, you will give your life to Jesus Christ. And we have seen so many pastors in foreign countries, they are dying for Jesus Christ. One more verse and I'm going to finish. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11.
Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
If you are a faithful servant of God, serving the Lord, and you got all the crowns coming to you, and he said, oh, I made it. Now the last minute I can do anything I want to do. I'm retired pastor now. Nobody knows what I do now. What the word of God says, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on to your crown. Hold on what you got. Don't lose it. Otherwise somebody is going to get your crown. Who is that somebody? The devil wants to destroy you. When God called me, and he says, if you will not come, I heard the voice, just like somebody's talking to me. I heard the voice, if you will not come, I will give your place to somebody. I said, Lord, I need my place. And now I can say, Lord, I need my crown. I'm not going to lose it. I'm going to hold on to it. So all these crowns are given to the servants of God. And the 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, we read, the one crown is undefiled, or blemish, or fading away. That crown is preserved for the pastors.
Amen.
Shall we rise? Let me pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Lord, for the great high calling. We are following the chief shepherd. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Give us grace. Forgive all our shortcomings. And let us make a new decision to win souls for Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.